So one of the themes I am exploring is about human connection and how can we cross barriers of communication and be more open-minded as people to reach out and maybe be creative with how we talk to one another.
That's Jessica Walker, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Jessica Walker is a multidisciplinary artist, illustrator, filmmaker, and educator. She joins us to talk about The Secret Astronomers, a novel in notes. Jessica, welcome to Conversations.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, this is a fascinating sort of multimedia book. Tell us about the inspiration for it.
Yes, so this is my debut novel. I've been an illustrator of children's books, but this idea came to me and I was very excited to start working on it because I've always wanted to play around with the idea of a textbook and incorporating a story inside a textbook. And I was the kind of kid who perhaps unfortunately drew inside of books, despite what my mother told me I should be doing. And so I wanted to play around with an idea of something that already existed in the world and build a story within it that would be kind of a secret world that you would uncover.
Tell us about the story here. What are readers going to find?
So this is an epistolary novel, which means that it's written between correspondents. There are two narrators in the book. They go by the code names Copernicus and Kepler. They choose those names because they want to remain anonymous, and they find the names inside the astronomy textbook because they reference leaders in astronomy from history. And the story is set in Green Bank, West Virginia, which is a real place in the real world, and it's home to the Green Bank Observatory, which means that it has these giant radio telescopes in this tiny town, and those telescopes are listening out into the universe for signs of life beyond our Earth. And the really interesting thing about this part of the world is that you can't have a lot of modern technology like cell phones or even a microwave because it interferes with the telescopes. So the characters in the book have to find a really unique way to communicate with one another because they're teenagers, but they don't have access to things like texting and social media like your typical teenager does today. And one of the characters, Copernicus, is from California, and she lands in West Virginia, in rural West Virginia, kind of unexpectedly due to something that happens in her family. And so she's kind of caught off guard by Appalachian culture. And the other character, Kepler, who has grown up her whole life in rural Appalachia, has to kind of explain and make Copernicus aware of some of the cultural changes that she's experiencing in this place.
And even though she grew up there, she wants to get out of there. So she's interested in the perspectives of this girl who grew up elsewhere.
That's right. And I identify with that for sure. I grew up in southwestern Virginia, a little bit southwest of where the story takes place. And when I was 18 years old, I couldn't wait to get out of where I was from. And so in some ways, the two characters of this book kind of represent my own internal dialogue as someone growing up in the Appalachian region and wanting to get away, but yet always feeling a deep connection with it and, you know, standing up for some of the parts of it that are often misinterpreted, I guess I would say.
Why was that important to you as an author? I guess because you grew up there, but why was it important to accurately represent that culture?
I think that Appalachian culture is often misportrayed as being irrelevant, out of date, the people being lazy or overly violent. And I don't think that these stereotypes are true. And so I really wanted to have the characters really grapple with some of those stereotypes and bring nuance and depth to them. Kepler, who is from West Virginia, has a lot of circumstances in her life that are beyond her control and have just happened to her because of the people that are surrounding her. And she she still loves those people and she finds ways to talk about them and explain her situation in a really nuanced way. And so I wanted to take the opportunity to do that through these two characters.
And because these two remain anonymous, it seems that gives them the freedom to communicate with each other and share things that they might not otherwise do.
That's right. They find out interesting things about one another that perhaps if you met someone, you would recognize immediately. But because the book is the medium through which they correspond, they have to learn these things in a kind of paced and phased way, which I think hopefully makes people think about how we make assumptions and how we are quick to judge people based on what we think when we meet them. But if we actually took time to get to know their stories first and a little bit more about who they are, maybe we would be more open-minded to interacting with people who are not like us.
In this story, there is this textbook. And is that based on a real textbook?
It is a real textbook written by an astronomer, Charles Young, in the late 1800s. And I had to find a book to work in. So I was looking at antique bookshops and I came across this book. And so I took it apart and started playing around with the pages. And, you know, the story and the images kind of came up together because the textbook really influenced how I would play around with each page. The characters in the book make fun of some of the science in the book. They play with the diagrams. They create images over top of what's already existing in the book. So yes, it's a real textbook.
So Copernicus is the artist and she likes to draw in the book. And at first, Kepler says, "Why are you defacing this book?" And she uses post-it notes as her way of communicating in the book.
That's right. She sees that as perhaps less invasive to put a post-it note or a sticky note in a book as opposed to drawing on the pages. Maybe she's a little bit less irreverent than Copernicus in that way.
Let's talk a little bit about the physical nature of this book, because it is fascinating because you see all these drawings in the book and you see the notes in there, and it's reproduced in such a way that it has almost a three-dimensional effect. It's almost like I wanted to reach out and see if I could take the sticky note off. It just seems so real on top of the page.
Yes, I wanted the look and feel of this object or this artifact to feel like you've walked into a library and pulled it off the shelf and you've opened it and found these sticky notes inside. And the texture of the paper was really important to me. I wanted it to feel real. And so you even kind of see the shadow beneath the paper and some of the pages are wrinkled and the way that it's produced kind of still captures that essence of the actual paper. So that was very intentional.
And I'd say it works really well. It's unique. I have never seen a book quite like this before. And I can imagine these two girls, one putting their message in there, putting the book back on the shelf, and later the other one picks it up. And they use this as a means of communication. Because like I said, they don't have cell phones. They can't just text each other. So they use this as a way to communicate with each other in a way that, yeah, someone could pick it up off the shelf, but in other ways, it's more secure than our electronic means of communication today.
That's right. They feel safe because it feels like this textbook doesn't get checked out from the library very often, perhaps for many, many years in between checkouts. So I think it's kind of exciting to them that this is like a diary that's kept in plain sight, that has all their secrets in it, but no one's looking at it.
Friendship is a theme here. Getting to know another person is a theme here, but what are some of the other themes this book explores?
So I've always had a fascination with astronomy and astrophysics, but I'm an artist. I don't quite have the brain for that type of science, but I've always been interested in connection with the unknown out in our universe. And I see that human desire to connect with extraterrestrials similar to the idea of being a human who wants to connect with another human who doesn't exactly share your political beliefs or your cultural background. So one of the themes I am exploring is about human connection and how can we cross barriers of communication and be more open-minded as people to reach out and maybe be creative with how we talk to one another.
Now, a lot of this obviously springs from your imagination, but because of where this is set and this telescope that's there, tell us a bit about the research you had to do.
So I had the opportunity to visit Green Bank and the observatory while I was writing the book, and I met many of the scientists who are doing research at the observatory, planetary scientists. There's astrobiologists there. There are astrophysicists, amazing people doing incredible research. And people from all over the world come to Green Bank to use the telescope because it is one of the most powerful and, you know, it's just a world-renowned piece of technology that all kinds of scientists are trying to get their hands on. So visiting that and learning about the science there was really interesting and definitely influenced some of the text. And the really incredible thing about this part of the world, Green Bank, is that it is rural Appalachia. There are people that I would say vote in ways that are on complete opposite ends of our country's political spectrum. But they live together in the same place and they shop at the same Dollar General store. And they have to learn to get along because that's who lives there. And I found that idea really compelling. And visiting the town and meeting people at the Historical Society and just meeting locals, there just seemed to be this really amazing way of reaching across the aisle that I don't think us in the city always participate in. And I wanted to highlight that in the book a little bit.
One of your characters makes the point of here we are spending all this time, money, and effort to communicate with the cosmos, but yet we don't spend that kind of effort just trying to get to know each other as human beings.
Yes, that's right. I think it would be a really interesting study to look at the science of communication on interstellar levels and what might it look like to put that effort and that money and that research into communicating with our fellow humans. Be pretty interesting.
This book is marketed as a young adult book, but I found with a lot of young adult books, it also attracts an older audience as well.
Yes, I'm starting to think maybe we're all young adults. I think there's something about a coming of age story and connection with people that really speaks to all of us. And it's really brought me back into this time of my life when I was the age that Copernicus and Kepler are in the book. And I think that these are themes that we just never get over as humans and that we're very compelled to think about even later in life.
Well, I know you have a very active career in art and education, but I'm wondering now that you have this first book under your belt, do you anticipate more in the future?
Absolutely. I am working on a new project that will be set in Tennessee. And it is in a place that is as equally, if not more exciting than Green Bank. And I'll just leave it at that. It's definitely going to be a multimedia epistolary format again. Yes.
This young adult novel is The Secret Astronomers, a novel in notes by Jessica Walker. Jessica, thank you for talking with me today.
Thank you. This was great.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen to the latest episodes on your phone or tablet, and you'll also find us on Facebook. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.